In John chapter 10 and verse 22, John 10 verse 22, the Bible says, "And it was at Jerusalem the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I have said unto you." And then the Lord proceeds to say some spectacular things. He says this of His own. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." O Lord, what a rich, rich passage of Scripture. Please help me to stay focused on the one vein of wonderful truth that You have laid upon my heart to emphasize in this service this morning. I pray that You would fill me with Your Spirit. Help me to think clearly, to speak simply and plainly. Use me as a channel through which You work. A channel through which You speak from Your heart through my heart to the hearts of the people here. You know, Lord, what every person here is experiencing. You know their trials, You know their joys, You know their burdens, their heartaches. You know everything about all of us. And I pray that as I preach this morning, that as we're reminded of how well You know us, that we will find comfort, encouragement, strength, and yes, even be convicted where necessary. And if there's someone here this morning that cannot say, as David did in that 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd," I pray that before they leave this building today, they would say, "I'm going to get that settled. I don't want to be one of those that rejected the great shepherd, but I want to be one that is described here in this passage before us this morning." O dear Spirit of God, move mightily as Your word goes forth, I beg. And everybody said, amen. Amen. My text this morning contains several very rich veins of precious spiritual truth, especially for those who are the sheep of the great shepherd and the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And with the gracious help of the Lord, I am going to limit my preaching to just one of those precious veins of truth that we find flowing in this passage. When I look at a passage like this, I look at it like they feel like perhaps a miner that's going in mining for gold. And all of a sudden he comes to a place in the where he's tunneling out there in the mine, and he comes to a place where there's a vein of rich gold goes this way, and one goes this way, and one goes that way, and another just, they're going in all directions, and he's got to decide, which one do I deal with first? And that's the way I feel like whenever I come to a passage like this. It is just got vein after vein after vein of very rich, precious spiritual truth. But there's one vein of truth that the Lord has emphasized to me, laid on my heart to emphasize this morning. And by His grace, I will do my best to limit my comments to that one vein of truth. It's a very precious truth, and it's simply this. It's in the middle of verse 27. The Bible, speaking of the Lord Jesus and His relationship with those who have repented of their sins and trusted Him as their Savior, and therefore they are His sheep. The Lord says this, "I know them." I like that. "I know them." The Lord Jesus, the shepherd of those who are His sheep, He knows us. He knows us. He's not just aware of the fact that we exist, but the Lord knows us. Now that's a powerful, powerful word. He knows us. I want to say three or four things here this morning that the Lord knows about us. And there's a whole lot more that I could say. And perhaps my comments will stimulate you to think further, and that'll be a good thing. I've had a hard time just seeking the Lord's will. Lord, what should I emphasize that you know about us? And I've narrowed it down to just about four things here. The first one is this. Our shepherd knows us personally. He knows us personally. I want you to look at John chapter 10, verse 3. Just back up a few verses in your Bible. And here's what the Lord said. It says this. He calleth, and there about midway through that verse, the Bible says of the Lord, He calleth His own sheep by name. Now that tells us that He knows us personally. Amen. You go through the Bible and you see where the Lord spoke to different ones, and you'll find that over and over and over again He called them by name. He not only knows that we are existing, but He knows us by name. He knows us personally. Now that's an encouraging thing. There's nothing impersonal about our Lord's relationship with His sheep. You know, just about everywhere I've gone throughout most of my life, I've been a number. When I went to a boarding school whenever I was a teenager, and I was a number. Whenever I went off to Bible college, they gave me a number, and I'd check in and out of things by my number. Whenever you're dealing with anything with the government, you're a number. Just about everywhere you go, you're a number. But not with the Lord Jesus Christ. With the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a person. You're a name. You're not a statistic. So there's nothing impersonal about our Lord's relationship with His sheep. To Jesus, we're all known by name. Now, I could stop right there, and that's the shortest point of the whole message. But I tell you what, that's worth being reminded of right there. The Lord knows my name, and He knows your name. You ever feel like that nobody knows you? So, I a lot of times I have problems. In fact, I do. I have problems remembering people's names. I remember one time I bought a book. And it's telling how to remember people's names. And the first point is this. Said, first of all, never say that you don't have a problem remembering people's names. Now, I'm going to tell you what. It's pretty hard to look somebody in the face and can't remember their name and not admit that you've got a problem remembering names. Amen? And it's something that I work at, and it just plagues me. But thank God the Lord doesn't have any problem. He knows us all by name. So that's the first thing. He knows us personally. Now, the second thing is this. Our shepherd, He also knows what we really look like. He knows what we really look like. You go over to Matthew 10:30, and here's what the Bible tells us. He says this, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now, He knows you pretty well if He knows how many hairs are on your head. Amen? He knows you real well, but that's how well He knows us. He knows exactly what we look like. I was watching some kind of news show this morning as I was getting dressed and getting ready to come to church. And as I was watching this show, they told the story of a little girl. I don't remember the little girl's name. I don't remember what school system she was in. But this little girl, she had been battling cancer. And as she battled cancer, as is so often the case, she lost all of her hair and she was wearing a wig. And the story told how that she was at school, and on a couple of different occasions, somebody would jerk her wig off, and all the other kids would laugh at her and make fun of her. And there was somebody that heard about it, and they went and they did all these photo shoots, and now she's got all these people supporting her and so forth there. But as I thought about that, I thought, man, I tell you what, people can be mighty cruel, can't they? Even little children. You don't think children have a sin nature? Look at how cruel they can be to each other. Here they are, this poor girl, battling cancer, and they're jerking her wig off and making fun of her because she has no hair on her head. And I thought about, I'm going to be preaching a little while. The Lord knows. He knows the very hairs of your head, every one of them numbered, and He knows if you have to lose them all for whatever the reason there. But here's the great thing. The Lord still loves us. And we're still very precious to Him. And He doesn't look at us as some kind of freaks of nature, some kind of oddballs. The Lord Jesus Christ, though He knows everything about us, He knows exactly how we really look, yet the Lord Jesus still loves us as we are. Now you think about this. The Lord knows how old each of us are to the very second. A lot of people are a little bit hesitant to talk about how old they are. How old are you? Well, I'm 29 and holding. Or I'm 39 and holding, something like that. They don't want to admit how old they are. But you know something, you can't hide it from the Lord. But in spite of how old you really are, you're still very special to the Lord. He knows how much each of you ladies weigh to the very, very ounce. Ah, me. I tell you what, there's something about it. A lady does not want to tell her age. She does not want to tell her weight. She's afraid somebody's going to think something, laugh at her or something like that if she knows her weight. And I tell you what, the older I get and the fatter I get, the more I'm sympathizing with them. Amen. But you know something? The Lord knows exactly how much each and every one of us weighs. And He still loves us. He still loves us. And He knows how many inches each of us men are around the waist. He knows. I've discovered something here. I've discovered something, how people that have more money, why that they wear smaller sizes than people that don't have much money like me. I've discovered it. You go to the places where I usually buy my clothes, you go there, and you try on clothes, and it'll say, you wear with me, it says a 38, all right? But every once in a while, I'll find a sale on at one of these little the upper-class clothing stores, and I can go in there, and you know what? I'll wear a 36. And the clothing stores where I usually buy my shirts, I'll wear a 17 and a half, you know, and so forth there. But I can go to some of these higher-class stores and catch a shirt on sale, and I'll wear a 16. And I found out something. People that can afford that nicer stuff, they fudge. They really do. I mean, they just make their clothes bigger and tell them it's a smaller size. Now, you don't believe it? You try that. You try. You'll find that's the truth. But I want to tell you something. The Lord knows what our size is. He knows what our inches are. Doesn't matter what the clothing store you go to says. He knows, and yet you're still special to Him. He still loves you. He knows what we're like when we crawl out of the bed in the morning before we get all spruced and cleaned up and all that stuff. He knows exactly what we're like. And He still loves us. Now I want you to get this down. The Lord knows you. He knows your name. He knows exactly what you really look like. And yet, the Lord loves you anyway, exactly as you are. Now I say that because it's important this. I'm not saying don't keep your appearance up. You ought to maintain your appearance. Amen? But you ought not to be ashamed of the way you look. You ought not to try to cover it up or camouflage it. Take good care of it and so forth there. Maintain it, but don't try to cover it up or camouflage it. You know what? We live in a society where people are all around us. It's not just young people. It's older people as well. And they're doing all kinds of things. You know, Botox and facelifts and implants and all kinds of stuff they come up with. To me, it sounds like something take place in a torture chamber, the way they describe some of that stuff. But they're doing all these things because they're concerned about people, that what they're going to think about them if they know what they really look like. Let me tell you something. The Lord knows what you look like. And if the Lord satisfied what you look like, after all, He did make you, then that ought to be enough for you. Amen? And so take care of yourself. Maintain yourself. Don't let yourself go. But don't try to cover it up or camouflage it or be something you're not. Don't let it destroy you and make you ashamed to go out in public. Listen, just accept the fact the Lord knows me and He loves me anyway. Amen? He knows me and He loves me anyway. Now, I had to learn that at a young age. I had to learn that as a young age. I came up and they nicknamed me Porky. It wasn't because I was a slim, handsome dude. That wasn't it. Amen. That wasn't it at all. But I learned to accept me as God had made me. And the Lord accepts me that way, and that's all that's important. Now, the Lord knows us. He knows His sheep. He knows our name. He knows what we look like. But our shepherd also knows what our real needs are. Now, notice this. I emphasize, He knows what our real needs are. You see, what you perceive to be your needs, a lot of times, are something that really would do you more damage than good. Sometimes, your real need is not to have your perceived needs met. Now, you think about that. If you had every need that you thought you had, if you had it met, for most of us, it would destroy us. And I've seen that over the years. I've seen people, you know, that they thought they needed a bunch of money or something. They'd come into a pile of money, maybe an inheritance or maybe an insurance settlement, something like that. And I tell you what, it was the worst thing ever happened to them. It destroyed them. What they didn't need that. They thought they did, but they didn't. See, your real needs are what the Lord knows, and the Lord knows that what you think you need is sometimes what will destroy you. But He knows what your real needs are. Now, there's a wonderful verse of Scripture over in the book of Matthew chapter 6, of course. All the verses of Scripture are wonderful verses. But over in Matthew chapter 6, Now I want you to listen to what the Word of God says in Matthew chapter 6. It goes here and it says this. He says in verse 7, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your..." Now get this. "For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him." Now isn't that amazing? The Lord knows everything I need before I even know I need it and go to ask Him for it. He knows exactly what I need. Now that's how well the Lord knows me. Now, why is it that He waits until we ask? That's kind of a mysterious question. Why is it, Lord, it's all right, well, here's my sheep. I know what they need. I'm just going to go ahead and give it to them. But He doesn't work that way. He waits until we ask Him for it. I think a lot of it, and this is not an exhaustive answer, but I think a lot of it has to do with this. He is seeking to cultivate our love for Him. He is seeking to help us realize how much we are dependent upon Him. In fact, that we are totally dependent upon Him. And therefore, He not only knows what we need, but He waits until we realize we need it, and we ask Him for it, and then the Lord meets our needs. If the Lord just met our needs without us asking Him, or without us realizing that we had those needs, then we would probably quickly become very spoiled brats that just take Him for granted. Have you ever seen a child like that? Where the parents just looked and they just said, "I think my child needs this," and they buy the child this, and they give the child this, and that, and the other, and the child never has to ask for anything. If he just hints that he might want something, he gets it, and all those things are poured out on him. And what happens? Does the child usually turn out and say, "Man, I love my mom and dad. They are wonderful people"? That's not usually how it works. Usually what happens is they get spoiled. And they take mom and dad for granted. And they really don't have any love for their mom and dad. They just look at them as like a year-round Santa Claus. And they are expecting mom and dad to give them things. And if mom and dad doesn't do it, they throw temper tantrums and get all upset. That's the way we would be if the Lord did not wait for us to really need something and then ask Him for it before He gave it to us. He knows what we need. But don't ever forget this. The Lord knows us so well that He knows what our real needs are before we even realize what they are. Now, you mark this down. Realizing that the Lord knows your needs, then you put this down. That you put the Lord first in your life, and the Lord's going to meet those needs. He will meet those needs. Again, back in the book of Matthew chapter 6, we look back here, and we see this wonderful promise of the Lord beginning in verse 24. The Bible says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other." Now notice that. You can't love two masters. It's going to be one or the other. He says, "Or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. Now what is mammon? Mammon is simply material things. You cannot serve God and mammon. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life." Now get this. "What ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" And then he says, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" Do you not think, if you're a child of God, that you're more important to the Lord than a bird is? Huh? And then he says, "Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of those." He said, look at those beautiful flowers out there. My, the lilies are so pretty. Have you ever seen anybody dressed as beautiful as a lily? Says the Lord's the one that clothes that lily. Don't you think He's going to take care of you? Don't you think you're more important to the Lord than a flower is? Well, of course you are. Of course you are. And then he says this, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, realizing that you're more important to the Lord than a bird or a flower or a blade of grass, therefore take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." You know something? He knows you have to eat. He knows you need clothes to wear. Amen? He knows that. And then the Lord gives us this wonderful promise. He says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Put the Lord first, He says, I'll take care of all these other needs. Put the Lord first. Now I'm going to tell you something. For most people, that's a hard lesson to learn. If I really put the Lord first, is He going to take care of me? And the Lord promises that He will. Does He not? Yes, He'll take care of you. He'll take care of you. My. I see it in young folks. They go off to college. And they'll get involved in college and they're overwhelmed with all their studies and so forth there. And they think like this. You know something? If I put the Lord first and I go to church and worship the Lord as I know He commands me to, He commands me not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. If I go to church and worship the Lord and give the Lord some time to serve Him, then I'm going to flunk out of school. I'm not going to be able to make it. I've heard it for years. Preacher, I got a big exam tomorrow. I can't be in church. I got a big exam Monday. I can't be there Sunday. Have you ever just thought about the promise of God that He'll meet your needs if you'll put Him first? Huh? Now, thank God I went to a college in which you were forced to go to church. And it didn't matter if you had an exam the next day or not. But you had to be there Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And every week I had to fill in a report. Where'd you go to church? And not only that, I had to fill in a report about what service I'd done for the Lord. Wasn't enough just to go to church. And I tell you what, I worked 40 to 48 hours a week on a secular job to support for my wife and child. And somehow I made it through there. It was not easy, but I made it through. I said, I'm going to put the Lord first. And the Lord took care of those needs. And the Lord's done that throughout my life. And the Lord do that for you. Why? Listen, His Word, it's to all of us, is it not? Put the Lord first. We get up in age. And you know something? You think, well, when you get older, you don't have the worries about your needs being met. Oh, yes, you do. You know, you're clicking along there, and you've saved up a little bit of money, and you look out there, and you start getting closer to a point where you realize you can't hold up to the rigors of your regular career, and you start looking at that, and you say, well, let's see, Social Security, I'm not going to be able to live off of that. What little bit I've saved up here, well, I'm not going to be able to make it off of that. And I tell you what, older folks have worries too. But you know something? None of us starve to death, do we? God meets our needs. God meets our needs. Our shepherd knows what our real needs are, and He is able to meet those needs. I want you to understand something. The Lord will never be unable to supply your needs. He'll never be unable to supply your needs. I read the story of George Mueller some years ago. That man who built those orphanages over in England. And he literally fed and clothed and housed thousands of orphanages. And I understand at least one of the orphanages is still in existence over there. But old George Mueller, he just a man of faith, a preacher of the Word of God. And the Lord laid on his heart to start those orphanages. I read the story about why George Mueller felt God wanted to start the orphanages. And one of the things he said was this. He was troubled about all the little children that were all over the streets of the cities throughout Europe at that time. And he said they needed a home. And his heart was burdened for them. But he said another reason that he felt burdened to start those homes was this. He said, I looked at the elderly people, and he said these were God's people professing to be sheep of His pasture. And he said they were all worried that they were going to end up in what they called the poorhouse back then. Basically, set up, pushed aside and just haven't given enough food to get by and so forth. He said they were all afraid that they were going to die in the poorhouse. And he said, I felt like this, that if I could start these orphanages and feed those children by faith, that it would challenge the older people that I minister to trust God to meet their needs. And so he started those orphanages and he said this. He promised God, he said, I'll never ask a man for a dime. And he never did. Anytime they had a need, he'd just pray and ask God to meet those needs. There were times when he'd gather the orphans around the table and he'd say, children, we must thank God for the food that He's going to provide for us. We don't have it. And they would pray, and bread wagons would break down in front of the orphanage, and milk wagons would break down, and they'd come in and they'd just say, hey, this stuff's spoiling, could you use it? Yeah, we just asked a blessing, thank God for what He's about to give us. But he said, I did it for the sake for the sake of the elderly as well as the young, to teach them that God meets your needs throughout your life. I want you to understand something. The Lord will never be unable to supply your needs. Now you think about this. The entire world is at the disposal of the Lord Jesus Christ. We go back to Psalm 50. And I want you to listen to what the Word of God says here in Psalm 50, verse 10. It says, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and all the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof." You know what he said? I not only own the cattle on the hills, but I own the world under them. Amen? I know the hills under them. Everything in this world is at the Lord's disposal. Everything is at the Lord's disposal. You say, certainly that He can meet my needs, but I want to tell you something. It's more than just this world at the disposal of the Lord. For I read over Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. There the Apostle Paul, inspired by God, wrote these words, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches," not here on this earth, but according to His riches in glory. And when I read about glory, I read about a city whose street is paved with gold and whose gates are made of solid pearls, walls of jasper, and all kinds of other precious stones. Let me tell you something. If the world was not rich enough to supply my needs, my shepherd has a storehouse up above that far exceeds anything here on this earth. I don't have to ever worry about Him being unable to meet my needs. And if you're a sheep of His pasture, you don't have to worry about that either. He knows what your needs are. And His supply is inexhaustible. Oh, aren't you glad the shepherd knows you this morning? He knows you. He knows your name. He knows what you look like. He knows what your needs are even before you are aware of what those needs are. But I want to tell you something else. Our shepherd knows where we need to go. He knows where we need to go. Now look back at John chapter 10 and notice some things here in John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and verse 3. Near the end of that verse, the Bible says this, "He calleth His own sheep by name." We've talked about that. But then the Bible says, "And leadeth them." And leadeth them. You know what He's saying? I know where you need to go. I know what you need to do. Sheep don't have the common sense to lead themselves. But He knows what the sheep need, where they need to go. You look over at John chapter 10, verse 27. Our verse here, it says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." What's the implication there? He's leading His sheep. He knows where they need to go. He's leading His sheep. You read over in Psalm 23, and the psalmist said this, it begins, "The Lord is my shepherd," but you get down in verse 2, and it says this, "He leadeth me." He leadeth me. The Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me. It's a great thing to know that our shepherd knows where we need to go and He seeks to lead us there. Listen, don't question the leadership of God. Just follow it. Just follow it. I mean follow it. If you've already messed up and got out of the will of God, just pick up where you are and follow the leadership of the Lord. I tell you what, He'll take the mess you've made of your life and He'll do the best with it He can. And one of the things that breaks my heart as a preacher is this. I see young people coming up and they reject the will of God for life. You say, where's the will of God at? Right here in this book. Right here in this book. And they reject the will of God for their lives and they head out on a road and I look at that and I know where that road is leading them. And they think it's a road of pleasure and fame and fortune and fun. And they get on that road, and their life is a mess. When if they just listened to the leadership of the Lord, they'd never been in that mess. And yet, when they get in that mess, instead of turning to the Lord to lead them out of that mess, they resort to their own wisdom and their own intellect and try to figure out how to get themselves out of that mess, and they end up getting in a bigger mess. And instead of listening to the Lord's will to lead them out of that bigger mess, they say, well, I'm going to do this on my own. And they end up getting in a bigger mess, and a bigger mess, and a bigger mess. And you know what happens? You get down there 40, 50 years old, and their life is an absolute disaster. And it seems like some people never learn. Let's just start doing what God said. Let's just do what God said. I want you to understand something. The Lord knows what's best for you. He knows where you need to go. And so you take His leadership and you do what He says. It may not make sense to you, but you do what He says. It may not be what other people think is the wise thing, but you do what He says. You do what the Lord says, and I tell you what, it'll turn out the best every single time. I love that hymn, He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whatever I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. It matters not where I'm at, amen? The Lord Jesus Christ will lead it. Now, it's a foolish sheep that rebels against the shepherd's leadership. A foolish sheep that leads against the shepherd's leadership. Follow the leadership of the shepherd. He loves you. Loves you. He knows what you look like. He still loves you. He knows your every need. And He loves you in spite of your needs. He knows where you need to go. He knows where you've strayed. But I tell you what, He wants to get you back on the straight and narrow. He knows where you need to go. How follow the shepherd's leadership. Now, fifth thing is this. Our shepherd knows our vulnerability. He knows our vulnerability. You see, you read that 23rd Psalm and you'll find this. The Bible says this. David's writing that Psalm and he refers to the Lord as his shepherd and he's a sheep. Now, old David had been a shepherd and boy and before he was a king, and so he understood the relationship of the shepherd to his sheep. And he says there in that 23rd Psalm, he says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." So we find there the shepherd carries a rod and a staff. They're not the same thing. They're two different things. The rod is used primarily, not exclusively, but it's used primarily to protect the sheep from predators. Whenever a lion or a bear or a wolf or whatever would start lurking around the sheep, that shepherd could take that thing. He was pretty accurate with it. You think about how accurate David was with a sling. I tell you what, he would have been just as accurate with a rod. And that rod would be a probably about so long there and have a knot on the end of it, some kind of root or something off of a tree. And he would take that thing and he could throw that thing with accuracy and he could fight off and ward off the predators that were attacking the sheep. And so David says that rod, that's something that gives me comfort. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, there the Bible describes our adversary the devil as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You know what the devil would like to do? He'd like to devour every one of us in here that know the Lord is our Savior. He'd like to do that. And I'm going to tell you what, we're no match for him. No match whatsoever. And the only thing that keeps him devouring us is this, the rod of our shepherd. And every time he tries to get close to us, the shepherd take that rod, plap, pop him upside the head with it. Amen? I mean, he drives them off. So the shepherd, he knows that we're vulnerable. He knows that we're an easy prey for the predators. Sheep have very little defense, if any. They're dependent upon the shepherd, and that's the way we are. And when the sheep strays from the shepherd, he exposes himself to danger. And whenever he does that, that's whenever the Lord has to go and bring him in. As long as the sheep is close to the shepherd, you know what? He has nothing to fear. But when he strays from the shepherd, then he's got something to be afraid of. The psalmist said, Psalm 23 and verse 4, he says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For why? For thou art with me." You walk close to the shepherd, you don't got anything to worry about. Amen? Nothing to worry about at all. So he knows we're vulnerable and he allows us, he pleads us, draw close to me. Draw close to me. It's here where you'll be safe. But God also knows our tendency to stray. The shepherd knows that. And so the shepherd not only carries a rod, but the shepherd also carries a staff. Now the staff is used to pull the sheep to the shepherd. Here's a sheep over here, and he's starting to get away from the flock, getting away from the shepherd. And the old shepherd loves him. Shepherd might call his name, and the sheep doesn't respond to it. And so the shepherd will go over there, and he'll take that staff. It's got a crook on one end, and he'll take that crook, and he'll hook it over there. Perhaps on one of the sheep's legs, or if it's a small sheep, perhaps around his neck, and he'll take and he'll pull that sheep to him. "Hey, I want you to stay close to me. You don't realize the dangers out there." And so he's pulling the sheep to him. Aren't you glad the Lord does that? You know why? Because he knows we all have a tendency to stray. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. That's what the hymn writer said. The shepherd knows that we have that tendency, so he has that staff as well as that rod. He takes that staff and he pulls us to himself. And then sometimes the old sheep, he strays off so far that he gets himself in a mess. Maybe he'll fall down in a crevice of a in the rocks. Maybe he'll get his leg hung or something there, and the old shepherd will take and he'll reach down with that staff, and he'll pull that shepherd up and rescue him out of that. You know why? He knows our tendency to stray. And so he's always drawing us to himself and pulling us to himself. That's why he can say there in John chapter 10 and verse 28, he says, they shall never perish. It's not because we are such strong, wise sheep. It's because we have such a wonderful shepherd. And therefore, we will never perish. We are in his hand, and we will never perish. Now, I want to ask you a simple question or two here in closing. First of all is this, are you one of his sheep? Do you really know you're one of his sheep? I thought about that passage over in the book of Matthew this morning while I was sitting up here on the platform. I can't remember the exact reference, but I refer to it often. But where there's people at the day of the great white throne judgment, they'll come to the Lord and they'll say, Lord, we did this in your name. We prophesied in your name. We did miracles in your name. We did this and that and the other in your name. And it's interesting what the Lord says to them. He says, I never knew you. You professed to know me, but I never knew you. And all around me, everywhere I go, it seems like everybody knows the Lord. But I wonder how many of them the Lord knows. Really, that's the question, is it not? You see, a man can lie. A man can even deceive himself into thinking that he knows the shepherd when he really does not. But does the Lord know you? If the Lord knows you, I tell you what, you've experienced that staff pulling you to Him. You've heard Him call your name and try to lead you and guide you and direct you. There's evidence in your life. Are you one of His? Are you a sheep of the great shepherd who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, if you are you walking close to Him? Or is He reaching out this morning with the staff of the preaching of His Word and trying to pull you to Him, trying to draw you closer to Him? Are you resisting and straying away? Why are you doing that? He's a good shepherd. He's never let us down. Amen. He's never let us down. Never will. Never will. And if you say, well, preacher, I am not one of his sheep, or I'm really not sure what you're talking about, or I'm not sure that I'm one of his sheep. Let me ask you this. Why aren't you? Why aren't you? You may give me 1,000 reasons this morning, but I'm going to tell you what. None of your reasons will be because of the shepherd. It may be because of something that somebody's done to you. It may be because you say, well, it's the way I was raised up or whatever, all kinds of excuses people give. But I tell you what, it's never because of the shepherd, because we have a good shepherd. He's a great shepherd. And he wants you to be one of his sheep. And I beg you this morning, submit to him. He's drawing you. Don't resist him. Let's stand.